This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Shahad Kutin. With me, Kusu Chuang, and welcome to Pressing Matters, the show that goes behind the headlines. Our guest this morning, Kian Wong, contributing editor to New Mandela, or with New Mandela, rather, which is a project of the Australian National University. And Kian, maybe because you're a veteran journalist and you've been working in Malaysia and, of course, abroad as well, maybe we begin with a quick a sketch of what New Mandela is doing re-GE14.
Basically, it's originally an academic blog that has tried to, I guess, go into that grey zone now, thanks to the demise of serious newspapers generally, into that grey zone where it tries to do what you could say reportage and analysis for a more broader general engaged audience. And, you know, it's an opportunity also for the university. ANU has for decades been the preeminent university space in Australia and I think worldwide for Southeast Asian studies. So it's very strong and well-known for Indonesian and Indo-Chinese, you know, experts and analysis. So this is how New Mandela, you know, grew up. It's over 10 years old. So it's quite old for something
Yeah,
like
Ken,
this.
I'm traversing a website now. It's quite interesting because it's fanned out from the, you know, couple countries in the early days to the 10 or so ASEAN countries now. But, you know, really the slant seems to be quite vox popish in a way. You know, you and your contributors and your stringers go and talk to people and get a real flavour on the ground, you know, tempos and temperatures and you know, I guess just how temperatures are on the ground. Is that true?
Not just. I think if you go through the 20-plus articles and photo essays now on the special part of New Mandela, which is focused on GE14, and also if you troll through the archives because it covered GE13, you'll see a lot of analysis on the structural changes that are underway in Malaysia's society, not just the economy. Less so perhaps on the strategic foreign affairs angle, but certainly a lot of substantive, I think, discussion on the way and the nature of how Malaysia's economy and society has changed. And I think the argument I was trying to make in the opening primer piece about GE14, which is on the site, which I wrote, gosh, well over a month ago now, still stands today, which is that it was titled, you know, The Twilight of One Malaysia and the New Dawn of Another. And I think the argument that I was trying to make was that Malaysia has changed substantively regardless of who wins this elections. The question is then, whoever wins, how do they then shepherd it forward without, I don't know, crashing the bus? And that's the problem.
Yeah, can we take what you just discussed, said, Ken, and put it really in a local sense? Because Lembah Pantai, I used to live there, you know, Vista Angkasa, Kampung Kerinci area. It's one of those neighbourhoods in the Klang Valley, which has got a mix of both modern, in terms of like Bangsa South, and then the very, very rural Kampung Malay type with the Kampung folk. And it's one of those neighbourhoods, I guess, which will really, in a way, I guess, reflect what you talked about how Malaysia is maturing as a society. You've got one of your contributors, Khoo Kek Cheng. But, I mean, really, what's your take on Lembah Pantai?
Well, I can never take this idea of calling it Bangsa South because it's
exactly right.
Cringy. It's always been cringy.
And in fact, cringy. I believe Pakatan Harapan has promised to restore the
restore
old...
Restore the word,
well,
yeah.
I mean, for what it's worth.
For that alone, if I was a voter there, I would support it. In fact, I wrote a lot about it for New Mandela and I think Malaysian Insider during GE13, precisely using that frame about the, you know, transition from Kerinci to Bangsa South, talk about that broader thing. But I think we have this problem that so much of our democracy seldom defers to the people who live in it and doesn't take their citizenship very seriously. And that's the problem.
You know, it's very interesting, Chuang, that you mentioned or characterized the so-called kampungs of Kerinci as rural, because in fact they're not. What they, and this is where I think New Mandela is very important and the inclusion of academics, the need for conceptual clarity when we talk about politics in Malaysia. So what they are, and just very briefly, are urban settlers, and many of the struggles they have had are very urban struggles. Their struggles over land. Land grabbing has been a major issue for many people who were enticed to the cities to become part of the industrial workforce. These are not rural folk. This is a very different game. And so I think what interests me in this, in what Manu Bandala is doing that's different from your Free Malaysia Todays and your Malaysia Kinis and The Star and all that, is it's about getting above or beyond the noise and all the surfaces that we see and often talk about to understand the deeper dynamics. Would that be true, Kian?
Well, obviously, I'd agree with that, and that's something we strive to do. I don't think, you know, we may not hit that mark all the time, but I think the valuable thing is to have and enlarge that conversation about what Malaysia is and what it can be, and certainly in an Australian or international context outside of Malaysia, the deficit of understanding on Southeast Asia and Malaysia is quite high. I mean, certainly I found that when I was living and working in Washington, D.C., where, you know, you've got a multitude of think tanks, many of which are very well funded, many of which, you know, pronounce and produce policy papers on this region, especially shared with Australia now, the great angst over China rising and how to tackle that. So it's a big problem if, I suppose, Southeast Asians and Malaysians themselves are not reflected in that conversation.
No, I mean, yeah, of course. And you're not the only one who's lived abroad. I mean, I when I was in the UK way back when, the kind of headlines that we used to consume about Malaysia didn't used to be the most positive. And they don't continue to not be that positive because, obviously, international media pick up certain things and local media pick up certain things. Just going back to Lembah Pantai, because I used to live in that area. And, you know, I used to listen to the preachings in the mosques very nearby, very loud, right? And you're right, Sharad, very, very local issues, very, very much centered on their local community. You know, the international marketplace whom you serve at New Mandela, what kind of messages are you telling, you know, after a culmination of a month traveling on the road in essentially peninsular Malaysia? What conclusions are you reaching and disseminating to the rest of the world about GE14?
I think one thing that has struck me between, I guess, going into the interiors of Johor and Perak and through Selangor is that there is a very quiet anger, resentment, what some Malay friends call meluat, as in they've had enough. The question is, who's directing the anger where? And will anyone do anything about it?
Are you reading this right? I mean, it's just a matter of interpretation and about how you're taking in this information and processing it.
No.
Because this is a very subjective point of view.
True. I actually am saying this based on actually echoing what a few Ketua Cawangan UMNO that I know in both southern Perak and northern Johor were saying to me as recently as 3-4 days ago. And how, very interestingly, they all boil down to this issue of how all politics is local. They're fighting what they consider local battles to win the seats. So I think what was interesting, for instance, in Hishamuddin Hussein's Johor constituency of Sembrong, going through there, unlike the rest of Johor, as anyone who's been driving through Johor the last few days will notice, lots of, you know, the big posters of the Prime Minister putting his hands up, that famous one. But in Sembrong, not so much. Interestingly, Sembrong has got its own logo, its own flags. Even the campaign workers have their own H2O T-shirts. So it's totally local.
H2O is a reference to Hishamuddin Hussein
right.
On.
Yes, that's right. His own branding, his own attractive logo. It's a very local issue.
And distancing himself from his cousin,
the former caretaker prime minister.
Can I just ask you, because obviously when you cut your swath through the hinterland, Ken, you know, obviously you're not of the local ilk, and you also sound a bit different. Do you think, just possibly?
I speak Malay, you know.
But you don't sound Malay lah. I mean, you know.
I
want to ask you.
Give me a few more weeks, I could do the logat Johor.
No, can I just ask? Because the Asian personality is often a guarded and sometimes sometimes duplicit one, and multiplicit, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that they're telling you what they really feel? Or do you think they're telling you what they're saying, the same what they're saying because of what you appear to be?
I would say both. I think the thing is, I think for most hopefully decent journalists, you would try and cross-check what you see and what you hear with various folks. And I have no reason to disbelieve these various UMNO middle managers, you could say, up and down the country. And I'm quite sure some of them don't talk to each other. So they all seem to be coming to similar conclusions.
Fascinating. Okay, that was Kian Wong, contributing editor to New Mandela. We'll be back with more on Pressing Matters. Remember, you can always be part of this conversation. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Good morning and welcome back to Pressing Matters. I'm Sharad Kutin, with me, Kusu Chuang, and our guest this morning, Kian Wong, contributing editor with New Mandela. There's a special section in New Mandela's website on GE14. Some 20 or so articles have been written by a range of individuals, mostly academics and journalists, covering this election. And from perhaps a slightly different style, a slightly different standpoint from what you would get in most online portals and newspapers. It's not quite journalism, is it? Ken, tell us, this thing that we've been talking about, you know, your take of the mood on the ground, how do you triangulate that?
I think I may be as confused as anyone who actually goes out there. One thing that is great is I think, you know, as a Malaysia project, we should still be quite optimistic. Certainly everyone from the Pacik Felda I met, you know, two nights ago near the main range of beautiful Rau and Bentong to, you know, Johor and, you know, the endless vistas of palm oil trees. I think lots of people like the idea of Malaysia as an idea. The question is, how do we then work it out going forward? And that seems to be the contest between Pakatan and UMNO-led BN. And
PAS, I mean, PAS, you know, promising or aspiring to be a kingmaker. We just had Bridget Welsh on earlier, who says, and in contrast to what Hadi, the president of PAS, said, he said 40 seats to become kingmaker. Mm. She's saying 10 seats and they can become kingmaker. Do you discount them at all in the travels that you've been? Are they not a player in the places that you've gone to?
I would just echo what I guess both UMNO and Pakatan operatives seem to say, which is that PAS is not significant for them. But this is Johor Perak, okay? I don't know about other states. But I think there's some people here, you know, UMNO HQ, who talk about PAS even losing Kelantan. They seem very optimistic about that. So
And them gaining it, rather.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Yes. No, I mean, Bridget Welsh, right, talked about how I think Kelantan and Terengganu in combination, 22 parliamentary seats, just about a tenth of the whole total. Not a big player in the greater scheme of things. But what is the greater scheme of things really is East Malaysia, Sabah, Sarawak. Obviously, you're not there because you're spending all your time in the peninsula, Ken. But what are your stringers telling you about that part of the pond?
That Sabah is in play, that they that Warisan may win state government. That seems to be there's a good piece. There are a few good pieces on Sabah and Sarawak at New Mandela, some by James Chin, the Malaysia analyst at
right.
University
of Tasmania. Because Warisan is the party led by Shafi Abdal, the former UMNO vice president, who's now basically leading the charge in terms of states' rights, and they can contribute. I mean, Sabah itself has 25 parliamentary seats, right? So this is distinct from the state game. The parliamentary game, they could be a major contributor to the balance of power nationally, couldn't they?
Mm. They can. And again, I think what appears to be the story with Sabah is the story that could be shared across Semenanjung, which is that all politics is local. That so many issues are, you could say, trench warfare, electorate by electorate. I mean, one thing I was struck with, for instance, talking to Mazli Malik's people, the former academic who is running for Pakatan, challenging in Simpang Renggam, which is central Johor, was that, you know, the biggest issue there, apparently, has to do with the contamination of the area's water, because there's a landfill next to the reservoir and so on, and that's a big deal.
But local issues aside, and you're right, electorates elect electorates, but there's also this notion that East Malaysia, both Sabah and Sarawak, will contain a fair amount of defectors, depending how Peninsula votes. Mm. So, again, I mean, that particular notion, controversial though it may be, seems entirely plausible. What's the new Mandala stance on that?
I think that is partly been canvassed in the James Chin article I was referring to that's on the site. It's quite detailed, so you can have a look at, you know.
So what are you going to tell us what the details? Are you going to keep us like on tenterhooks?
What's the Ken Wong executive summary?
I don't. Well,
he wants us to go to the side.
No, come on, you're here already. Tell us,
no, no, no. I think
the cliff notes.
No, I think the thing is also the situation appears very fluid. So, you know, I have a suspicion. Going off on, before I went off on my little travels in the last 10 days across the peninsula, going off on data and surveys that Merdeka Center and others have had, they really do remind me, at least, that they are snapshots in time, that many people beyond the suburbs, as UMNO middle managers themselves say, out in these areas, people don't take or tell pollsters everything.
Okay, I understand that. Now, you told us there's the local issues and then the national issues. There's a very important J word in all this. It's jantra. It's machinery. Mm. Now, and it's often said that PAS had a very important machine that Pakatan Riot relied upon. Yep. Now, without that PAS jantra, without the party machinery, how is Pakatan Harapan doing? Isn't it a get-out-the-votes game at this point in time?
Absolutely. Both, I think, the UMNO people and the Pakatan people are very keen on getting out the vote. The biggest worry and concern that I know with Northern Johor UMNO friends is that they say, look, we're worried our people are so meluat or disgusted or upset with what's happening federally, they just don't come out to vote. Then we have a problem.
The other issue that we almost let pass, but you also mentioned that pollsters and the accuracy of polls taken thus far, has it for an establishment victory, though only just. But do you not think that people who are being polled are exactly voicing what they feel?
I think there's a problem with that.
Even with Brexit, yeah, all the polls seem to suggest one way.
Absolutely.
And then the reality
snaps
back in the opposite direction.
I know. I mean, just to give you an example, two nights ago in this Felda area outside Rau, you know, talking to this Pakcik Felda who'd been there since he said 63 or 65, 1965. I don't know when the Felda opened, a bit before that. And I asked him, you know, I kept persisting asking him, so what's the sentiment, what's the feeling out in many of these established Felda areas, which are now into their second, third generation of Felda settlers, look pretty prosperous sort of kampong Felda. And, you know, he instead replied me with this, I guess, cute analogy, you know, a little story. He said, you know, when we're out here, we like to plant trees, fruit trees, palm oil trees, whatever, and we love for them to grow up straight, you know, lots of things growing, and sometimes they do so well, they are overburdened with fruits, and all the branches and the leaves are all overburdened, overripe, falling over. So then I have to ask him, so what? Is it time for a pruning, a maintenance job?
He sounds like, you know, this is like a scene out of Being There and Chauncey Gardner,
I know.
Weighing in on American politics with these, you know, these metaphors. But okay, but what is the conclusion of all that?
Well, I asked him.
Read into that what you want.
No, exactly. Because I was saying to him, so, you know, give me the story here. What's the story? And then so he said, you know, it's very hard to say. He winks at me and he walks off.
He winks at you.
Yeah, he winks at me. You know, I think, whoa, what's that? What am I supposed to make of this?
Felda has 54 constituencies out of 222, right? That is why they matter. And that is a very, very important analogy. And read into that what you will.
Well, okay. So what we're trying to get is somebody to do the reading for us, so that we don't misunderstand.
Well, everyone, please read this for me and tell me, because this is as good as it gets.
I'm telling you.
Okay, remember, you can always be part of this conversation, even when the Morning Run steps aside. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 0188-789-8899. We still have a little bit more time left. Now we're in the last 24 hours of the campaign period. What is Nelson Mandela going to be focusing on? What are you going to be focusing on? What do you think people should be focused on?
A few of us have to get out our tip sheet. Although we have been very conscious of not trying to enter this horse race analysis of who wins, who loses, we're very conscious of not wanting to add to that clamor and actually to, you know, figure out what happens, whatever happens afterwards. So we're going to try and publish that in the next 24, 36 hours. But I think more importantly, it's really a question now for me, at least as a Malaysian citizen and trying to vote and figuring it out from what I read, is that Malaysians themselves, I think, really have to think seriously whether, one, you want to engage in this process of citizenship and you're going to vote. And if so, how are you going to do it? Because, you know, lots of people up and down the country seem to say their choices are a bit bleak. They're not very happy. But I think what's instructive is perhaps, you know, Pakcik Felda sort of saying to me that it's really difficult to make a decision.
And the wheat is high and gold is high. Is it all?
I think one final takeaway I must say, though, on the campaign trail, Northern Johor, the food was awful. And Southern Perak was very good. Why is that? Someone please tell me.
As Johorians, I'm not going to stand for that kind of, you know, baseless criticism. Thank you very much. That was Kian Wong, contributing editor with New Mandela and their special coverage of GE14. Check it out. The website, very simple. It's newmandela.org, D-O-O-R-G. Okay, and I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Kusu Chuang. We're coming up to the news, and then we'll be back with Enterprise. Frida's waiting in the wings anxiously to speak to you. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.